Since sleepiness and sleeplessness are now a global epidemic that threaten the health and quality of life, and disorders of sleep are seen as preventable and treatable medical conditions in all countries of the world, the World Association of Sleep Medicine has declared a day in March each year as World Sleep Day. This year, World Sleep Day falls on March 16, 2012, and joining us this morning to tell us all about it is Dr. Antonio Calabres, professor of neurology at Upstate Medical University and a consultant for the Sleep Center at University Hospital at Community General. He is also the co-chair of the Committee for World Sleep Day for the World Association of Sleep Medicine. Welcome, Dr. Calabres. Thanks for coming in today. So what is World Sleep Day? How did it get started, and what's the goal?
World Sleep Day is a program of the World Association of Sleep Medicine. It's an international program that has reached more than 75 countries since inception in 2008. And the objective of World Sleep Day is to raise awareness about sleep, sleeplessness, and all the problems that are associated with either sleepiness or too little sleep.
And it seems like So the goal was really to raise world consciousness about this, and who is it targeting? I mean, who are the people that need to know about this? Is it professionals or is it lay people?
Actually, it's both, professionals and public in general, because it is ironic to know that there are many physicians who are still not well acquainted with sleep disorders. And sleep disorders, as you just said, are treatable, are diagnosable, and actually with great success in a variety of conditions.
And the truth is it can be a problem that leads to many other medical difficulties. I mean, it can be the result of other medical problems, but it can also lead to many medical problems.
Yes, the so-called primary sleep disorders are quite prevalent. This year, we are focusing on sleep apnea, and the slogan is breathe easily, sleep well. Sleep apnea is very, very common. 4% of men and 2% of women have sleep apnea that is clinically significant, which means that it should be treated. Otherwise, complications could occur. And in the long-term, complications of sleep apnea are not only sleepiness and fatigue during daytime hours, but also conditions that are serious, such as high blood pressure that is not responsive to medications, heart disease, stroke, and even diabetes.
So it has major ramifications. I mean, sleep is really essential then for our good health overall.
Yes, it is. In fact, it's one of the pillars of a healthy life in conjunction with a healthy diet and exercise.
Why do you think there's such a high percentage of people experiencing sleep apnea? Has that changed, first of all? Has the incidence grown?
Perhaps it has grown, and it's quite possible that it continues to grow because sleep apnea is very much linked to obesity. And that is a condition that has become virtually epidemic, not only in the United States, but also around the world. So people who become overweight do have a tendency to develop sleep apnea. It is true that there are individuals who are not obese and also have sleep apnea. For instance, children with large tonsils may develop sleep apnea. Or adults with rare conditions such as acromegaly, which enlarges the tongue, or problems that affect the upper airway, also develop sleep apnea. Now, stroke is a condition that may trigger sleep apnea because it affects the coordination of the muscles of the upper airway. And as a result, individuals after a stroke, in fact, 75% of individuals after a stroke may have sleep apnea that needs to be treated.
That's very interesting. I'd never heard that before. That's very interesting. So you're focusing, why did they choose sleep apnea as this year's message? I mean, because of its prevalence?
Or? Yes, that's one of the reasons. It's a very prevalent disorder, as I mentioned before, but it is also diagnosable in sleep centers, and treatable. And the gold standard for treatment of sleep apnea is continuous airway positive pressure applications, or CPAP. It has already become a household name, but CPAP is the gold standard for treatment of sleep apnea, and this is available in sleep centers. There are other forms of treatment. There are surgeries, and there are oral applications, but certainly CPAP is the gold standard.
So tell us just very briefly, how do you know if you have sleep apnea? I mean, what are some of the signs and symptoms?
There are markers for sleep apnea. For instance, very loud snoring is one of the major markers for sleep apnea. Bedmates may witness lapses in the respiration of the individual. Restlessness at night, falling out of bed for an adult, that's a major sign of possible sleep apnea. And then, of course, sleepiness during daytime hours. Sleepiness may lead to poor driving
performances
or poor performance at work, loss of academic grades, and so on. So that is also another consideration.
But exactly what does happen? You actually stop breathing?
The individual stops breathing for 10 seconds or more, innumerable times, during the night, perhaps as many as 60 or 70 times per hour of sleep. And this causes fragmentation of nocturnal sleep. In addition to fragmentation of nocturnal sleep and loss of quality, there is loss of oxygen during the night.
So it's very serious, and sounds like CPAP is something that does work, which is that device that you wear, and it can help.
It works in most individuals. There are persons who do not tolerate CPAP, but then there are alternative options. And those who are compliant with the CPAP do derive a great benefit.
Well, Dr. Kalabers, thank you so much for coming in and telling us all about World Sleep Day and about, you know, sleep apnea. My guest has been Dr. Antonios Kalabers, professor of neurology at Upstate Medical University and a consultant for the Sleep Center at University Hospital at Community General. We have to take a short break, but we'll be right back with all you need to know about how you can actually get a good night's sleep. I'm Linda Cohen, and this is FM News Radio 106.9 and 570 WSYR.